When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Motherfucker showing up at my house every other day.
you're in demand.
I mean, I guess it's not nothing to complain about, but I am tired. I ain't gonna lie. Even last night, I was so tired after all day. You ever get that where you're just so tired all day, but then you finally get into bed, then you can't sleep? It's just like so much shit was just running through my head.
Yeah, that's the worst.
All right. Are you guys ready?
We're already going.
It's the Danny Brown Show. Sit back, relax, you already know why you make studios. Yeah. It's the Danny Brown Show. We about to get live. Let's go.
Let's go.
It's the Danny Brown Show. Sit back, relax, you already know why you make studios. Yeah. It's the Danny Brown Show. We about to get live. Let's go.
Let's go.
Yo, yo, yo. What's up, though? Coming to you live from beautiful Austin, Texas, here at YMH Studios. It's the Danny Brown Show. I got the Booth Boys with me. What's up, fellas?
What's up, Danny?
What up, man?
Great
What's
to
up,
have you.
How y'all doing, man?
Doing real chilling, well.
Man. It's a nice day today, man. I can't complain, you know?
Yeah.
We in here. We getting busy. I got some legends in the building today, man. I'm really excited, man. Honored to have you guys in here, man. Make some noise for Jim and Zach from Jimmy Eats World, man. How y'all buddies doing, man?
Doing great. Thanks for having us in.
Man, thank you
legends,
guys for coming.
Legends, whatever, man. Come on.
Yes, man. You guys are. I really, man, you know, being a rapper and shit, you just think, you know, motherfuckers just listen to rap. But it was that time where I just started to experiment and started listening to other music. And I was going through a bad breakup at one point in time. And I used to listen to Clarity every day.
Really?
Oh, wow.
Yes. That was like,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
I don't, so it's just crazy for even meet y'all, you know, because y'all helped me at such a fucking hard time in my life.
That's
man.
Wild, man. I would have never guessed that. I'm familiar with your podcast. And like when they said, hey, Danny wants to have you guys. Like,
yeah,
wait,
man.
Wait, why the hell are we going on that show?
I know, man. But, and also too, I just really love to like.
Do you know why we're here?
Yeah, why are we here?
Yes, man, because okay. For somebody that's been doing it for so long, man, I definitely have a lot of questions for y'all, man, just like advice and shit. And just like, man, you know, when you've been doing music for so long and like, I don't know, sometimes just the inspiration or you feel like maybe I said everything, or, you know, but the fact that y'all can just keep going, like you guys are here right now, y'all playing at the Moody Center?
Yeah, playing Moody Center.
Yeah, man,
right?
like what is like, what still get y'all up? Like, make y'all say, it's love of the music, like.
Oh, man. I think you just got to, the simplest way I can describe it, at least for me, is you got to just be willing to chase the idea you're excited about.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever that is.
Yeah.
You know, and sometimes it leads somewhere. Sometimes it doesn't lead to a finished product. But, you know, you really never know where exploring that is going to, what it's going to provide you. Maybe it's an idea for something you use later. Maybe it's a song. Maybe it's, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's something that gets stored or filed away and it's something you use for a video later on or artwork or you really never know.
Yeah.
But once you start like kind of judging that in your mind before you've had a chance to go down that road at all, then you just never will.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, man. For me, so long, music was like my form of therapy. Mm-hmm. It was almost like I would just put stuff in songs that I was like, I don't know. You know how guys are, man. You feel like too emo to talk to your homies about certain shit.
Oh, yeah.
Talk to your family. So I would just like say it in songs. But ever since I've been like sober, I've more so got like a whole newfound, like, just like, I feel like now I want to make music like more to sort of help people. You know, like to make people feel good more so
yeah.
than me just trauma dumping on them now, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think when we started as a band, the thing that we did was let's write songs. Like, let's come up with our own material. We've never really been a band that's been big into like writing, like learning covers and playing covers.
Yeah.
So when we first started, like our goal was, hey, we want to write our own music. And I think, you know, as you, 30 years later, we've released 10 albums. And I think we're sort of following that same impulse that we had when we started. And we feel like if we were to stop chasing whatever new idea, like Jim was saying, I feel like if there's something we want to work toward or if there's an idea that excites us, we feel like if we stop entertaining those possibilities, there's sort of like an atrophy that happens to you as a band. You know, I think you got to keep moving forward creatively. And like, you know, if we wanted to, we could just like not write any more new music and just tour on everything we wanted. But I think for us, it's like that the core challenge and excitement of being in a band, that especially how we started, was to write material and to make our own songs and to put them together and make an album. And so that's been something that we've kind of almost defined our career and our lives by, is like these certain periods of time that are, mm-hmm. oh, that was when we put out that album. Oh, that's when we put out that. It's like becomes like these markers in your life. And I think we just want to continue doing that to whatever degree we can. And I think the trickier part is when you get older, it's like it becomes harder because you're competing with not only like all the other music out there, but you're competing with your own catalog, and you can't put out an album that sucks. You got to put out, you know? And so, and that's hard because it's like I think as you get older, you get a little bit more discerning, but that's really a challenge that we've tried to like embrace and be like, okay, we have to make sure it's great. Yeah. We can't just like do it to do it.
I mean, your tastes are going to change over time. Mm-hmm. What you know about music is going to change, or hopefully grow over time, you know, and how to get from the idea in your head to the finished thing is going to hopefully grow over time and get better. You would hope. You just got to, you know, think that like is this thing I'm doing right now, am I as proud of this as I was when I, you know, back in the day when I was working on this other thing that exists already?
So, yeah, man, after 30 years, man, like, is it still fun?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's still fun. I mean, but, you know, like it can be a grind sometimes. Like, it can definitely wear you down a little bit physically, mm-hmm. but it's still fun for sure.
So, I got a theory that I feel like with each album, I always kind of like learn something new, mm-hmm. and it kind of changes up my process, the way I approach a project. Like after 30 years of like making albums, man, like what, like even like making music now, like what changed in the process, like how you create songs and shit.
I think when you're younger, like I've been thinking about this lately, like the start of the group. When we go back and when I went back and like tried to learn some of our older, like earlier songs, mm-hmm. I'm like, wow, this is so complicated. Like guitar parts are like, what am I trying to do here? Like, it's trying to play everything at the same time. And then like now it's all about economy, mm-hmm. and making things more simple and seeing like how complete I can make something with less,
yeah.
you know? I mean, sometimes definitely more is more, but I think like the trickier thing is like, can you work within restrictions?
Yeah.
Like, can it be, if you give yourself, you know, parameters that it has to kind of be work within, how creative can you be within those?
Yeah.
You know, and sometimes it's going the simpler route.
Yeah, I definitely believe that limitations definitely creates, I mean, it just make you more creative in that sense. You know,
yeah, it's
it
like
breeds
a,
creativity.
It's like a prompt, kind of, like if instead of like looking at a blank page, you have some direction, even if it is like you have to stay within this part mm-hmm. of the page.
Because I feel like when I was like making albums like earlier, like I would just think so much harder. And I guess because you have to, you know, uh-huh. until like then when I started getting budgets and shit and being able to do whatever the fuck I want to. And now I'm at that point now, I'm like, man, maybe it's too much sometime and, you know, got to will it back in or, you know, just
it's
not overthink shit.
It's kind of like you know, musicianship, I forget where it comes from, but they, you know, I've heard the expression, the hardest note to play is a rest.
Yeah.
You know, like you're thinking like I just got to throw everything at this and make it the best, but is that really, maybe the best calls for like, you know, maybe something simpler.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's not, you're not making it better by adding a whole bunch of extra things to it. Like can you get what you want to communicate or what you're feeling in a simpler way?
Yeah.
And usually that's that kind of transcends, like people will kind of relate to that
Because even me, easier. I've been starting. I mean, I've been, you know, I read like songwriting technique books and all that shit.
Yeah,
and it's
sure.
like, because I never really was into that shit. You just write raps, you know, you just did it. But now I read them and they all come to the same point, I feel like. They just be like, don't overthink it. Just really just write like the first thing that comes to your head, like more so. Cause I would take like days and weeks to write one song type shit, you know? And then the crazy part about that is that you put so much effort into writing a song and then people be like, whatever. Then you write a song in like 10 minutes and everybody love that shit. And you be like, what the fuck? How is this? How does that even work?
You know? That is true. That is true. It is sort of a thing like in your mind, you think like this has more importance behind it because you struggled to solve that creative puzzle and the thing that just happened like...
Yeah.
But a listener doesn't know that.
Yeah.
They're just hearing one thing right next to another thing with their own take on it. Like they don't care how much you sweat over like this what you think is like a perfect like example of your idea, you know?
Yeah, I call it like catching lightning in a bottle type of thing, you know. And I used to and then another thing that I like exercise it really just taught me was that like sometimes I only would make shit when I was inspired to. And it was like, man, the best time I'm starting to realize is that when I'm really not really feeling it. I feel like I make my best shit when I just didn't really feel like being in the studio that day and just like, you know, and then just like throwing paint to the wall. And I end up coming up with some crazy shit, you know, more
in
so when I'm just sitting around harping on it, thinking about, you know.
Yeah, in your mind, does that sort of take some of the self-pressure you put on yourself, like off of it? Like, I don't even care today, whatever. And then you sort of like... more loose and flows kind of easier?
Yeah, I think more so I was just dealing with addiction too. Mm-hmm. So I was at that phase where I was just like, let me just hurry up and get this shit done so I can go
What was your thing?
I mean, drinking was my worst, you know, but I, of course, like, you know, doing blow and, you know, all
it's
the shit that
comes
with
it.
Yeah, you know, all that shit connects to each other type of
totally.
Shit, you know. But now I realize like once I've, you know, got all that out of my life and shit, I'm back like that childlike phase with music. Like I'm back having, it's just fun for me to create again, you know?
It's really, I think the secret is just approaching everything with curiosity, you know, especially when you're running into like resistance of any kind, if it's like it's any sort of self-judgment or whatever it is, like just kind of like reframe it in a way that like, okay, this is not working at all. You know, just approach that problem with curiosity. And I think that's
and
that
I
really gets you beyond it.
And I just love like learning more. Like,
yeah,
you
exactly.
know, like you feel like sometimes you get with music, you feel like you know everything. Like I got this shit. I know what I need to be doing. But then just when you just feel like you opened up another door, it's like, oh shit. And that's just, you know, and just trying to take the music to another place. Because I don't really like repeating myself. Like I feel like if I make a song, I'd be like, I got a song kind of like that. You know, I did that before. So I try to keep it. Try to like move myself forward, and it kind of challenges me in a lot of ways. So like even with this next album that I'm working with like producers that I wouldn't, you know, 10 years ago I wouldn't even thought of trying to even get in the studio with
these
type
of people,
you know. But now, but it feel like it's making me better because it's getting me out of my comfort zone, you know.
Yeah, and the cool thing about working with different people is you learn more.
Yeah,
you know,
that's what
I'm saying. if you just stay with the same producer, like, you know, if you stay with the same producer or work on your own, you're not really benefiting from that, because you really, like for us, I know, you know, there's been projects we've worked on where it's just, you know, we're capable enough to make stuff on our own. We can do that. But I think our best work is when we collaborate with a producer or someone that's giving us an outside perspective. And we've been really lucky over the years to work with really great people that we take little pieces from different people and what do they do? And even not only that, but even engineers that we work with, like, what approach they have. And so if you kind of come at it with like this curiosity of like, man, I want to learn, like I want to learn that. Like, you know, I think it just enriches you as a musician. It gives you a better perspective on the project as a whole. You know, when we first started making albums, we were like teenagers.
Yeah.
We signed with Capitol Records and we were in like, you know, Sound City in LA making a record that we had no business making.
No, none.
We were such idiots and super inexperienced. And, you know, when I got to the studio, there's this guy they hired to come and tune my drums because I couldn't tune them to sound good, you know? And that's kind of sometimes a really complicated thing to do. Like getting drums to sound right in the studio can be like an obstacle for sessions. And it annoyed me that I was like, this guy's coming, I should know how to do this. So I was just like, I got kind of annoyed. I'm not going to learn how to do that. And just by kind of going down that road of like challenging myself to learn that, I feel like I've learned a lot more about drums and different, you know, the way they're made. And I think just in general, like what you were saying about coming at it with a curiosity and also coming at it with working with new people, like you learn so much. I think it makes it more fun. And it also makes it like not repeating yourself. We're the kind of the same way. Like if we do an album that's like a certain kind of lane, mm-hmm. the next album we want to do something a little different. Like mm-hmm. we want to kind of get away from that lane because we want to, you know, try to work some kind of new ground, you know? So I think those things are like what, you know, your instincts are really good on that.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. It can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves thin, especially with social gatherings picking up after the winter. What's the right amount of socializing for you, and how do you recharge? Maybe you thrive around people, or maybe you need some more alone time. Therapy can give you self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. I love BetterHelp, man. It's so easy to just get up and talk to somebody. You don't have to leave your crib. You can just sit at your computer, find you a licensed therapist, man, that can really help you get through your day. We all know it's about to be hard out here. Summertime's coming. So, you know, you got to get somebody to talk to clear your head. So if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/Danny Brown today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Danny Brown.
Yeah, and like me now, like it's stuff that I never cared about now. So, you know, like I'm more so now caring about the way the mix is now. Like I'm trying to get better at just learning. Cause you know, rap music is just like, that's the easy part. You just put on a beat and rap. Like with you guys, you know, you gotta have the drums right, the guitars right. You know what I'm saying? So it takes, you gotta have a top notch engineer working on the rock. Even though it's some good lo-fi shit too, but I'm more, way more like being more concerned about the mix and who I'm working with and stuff like that. So,
yeah.
So that's been like my new, I don't know, like it's a new hobby. Uh-huh. Like now I've been like, you know, listening to like mixing audio books or, and I love that, I mean, before, you know, I've been doing it way before, like, the internet. Like, it's so much information out there for us with YouTube. Like, I can always just fucking go watch a video that fucking teaches me how to shit. So I've been, like, recording. It still sounds like shit. Yeah. Like, I do demos at home, and then I'll take them to a bigger studio. But it still sounds uh-huh. like shit, but I'm getting better and better at it. And I feel like just me learning that is helping me get better at making music in general.
Yeah, if only to give yourself that language to communicate what you want from someone that you're hiring in,
yeah.
You know, like I recorded it this way. I wanted to, you know, you can communicate with them on that level mm-hmm. and get closer.
Yeah,
to your
no,
idea.
You're right. And then ask some questions. And then, like you say, learning, because everybody, one thing I did learn is that everybody has a different process with how they make music. That's why I always ask people, like, what's your process? Like, how do you, like you say, because you take little shit from this, you take little shit from that, and you incorporate it into your shit, and it just make it easier for you, you know? So I've been working with like a lot of more like I don't know, I can't really put them in a genre blending type shit, you know, getting in with more, or even like, you know, it's a lot of sample based stuff. I would just take the sample based stuff and just get it replayed now, because clearing samples is a bitch in rap music, man. I ran up my whole budget.
Yes, it is.
It ain't even been, it just been clearing samples, man. Or and there's nothing worse than just going back and forth, and then they take fucking all the money from the record. You don't make shit from it.
It better be something irreplaceable. So that makes the thing, like, if it's that, you can't recreate it, because it's got to be worth that.
Yeah, but I always used to be like, man, when you replay it, it just loses something. But now I'm just, but it loses it to you, the actual listener. Yeah. They don't know. And so I'm at that phase now where I'm like, fuck that, replay that shit. I'm not snapping it. So I'm bringing in more like
demoitis.
Yeah. Demoitis is the worst shit ever, man.
It's the worst shit ever.
I hate sitting around. I play a person like, you know, like you got to tell them, but you give them the warning, like, you know, this is the demo version right now.
it's tricky. We're sort of coming at things the other way now. Like we made a decision really early on when we started getting money from record labels that we were going to invest in recording equipment and basically get better, get self-sustaining
mm-hmm.
so we could do what we wanted, whether or not there was a budget, whether or not there was a label behind it. We could at least record and tour and make, you know, do what we wanted. And over the years, we've gotten pretty good at it. And I think like our demos now are sounding like,
yeah,
pretty close to like with, I mean, it doesn't take a whole lot of of technical savvy or gear to make something that sounds pretty close to like what a finished record would be.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're starting from that point, like that demoitis is real.
Yeah.
And so I think we're coming to a place where we want to make worse, way more raw kind of sounding things. Like, do not bake everything into the cake before you've had a chance to like let it grow anywhere. Let it, you know, like
that demoitis is a thing, man. I swear it's been a lot of songs. Cause like I say, I would do them at home and then I'd take them to a bigger studio and I'd be like, fuck, I liked it the one I did at home better, right, man. Like, fuck. Cause you listen to that one more and it just became, I don't know, you just got locked in with that more.
Well, you're listening to something and that idea excites you enough to take it to the studio to begin with. Right. Mm-hmm. So there's a quality in that demo that like you want to recapture, and it can be a really tricky thing to do. You know, there is a sort of little bit of letting go when you do decide to like take that step and like do it. But, you know, we've sometimes tried to beat an element of something on the demo and we don't. So we just, we take the demo track and just put it in final.
Oh shit. That's crazy.
All the time.
I just got to the point where I just erase my brain of it. Be like, the demo never existed, and just try to just forget
that's gnarly.
I just be like, that didn't exist.
Well, there can be element, like if, you know, depending on what it is in the demo that you like mm-hmm. what are there, like let's say it's the sound of the beat or the pattern that whatever you have. Like,
I think for me it's more so that I didn't know the song as good, so I can convey the emotion more. Mm-hmm. So when I'm in the big studio and I know the song by heart and I'm in there, I'm just like dialing it in almost. I can't, you know. Yeah. That,
it's a recording of you discovering the idea in real time, and that's going to be really hard to get that energy behind it.
I swear, man, it's so hard. All right, we'll jump into some of these ex-Dannys. You can always hit me up at Danny@thedannybrownshow.com. That's Danny@thedannybrownshow.com. First up, we got Hooky Cookies.
Ex-Danny.
Hey, Danny and the Booth Boys, do you think an artist can be successful without the ability to write a strong hook? You've alluded to now writing a hook first, and now I wanted to get your thought process behind that. 50s influence, possibly. Big fan of you in the show. Shouts out to Julius. There have been, for me, one of my favorite rappers is MF Doom, and he never had a hook in any of his songs. And I remember the first time hearing MF Doom, was like, you can do that? You know, like, you could just write. And, but they were more so like, I don't know, like, it was like his novels. Like every song was like a book. But I do think if you want to be like a successful mainstream, like pop artist, like you definitely have to have strong hooks, you know?
And slowly that hook has kind of not been in less and less about like what like a rap song would be. Kind of elements of pop will come in as like your hook. Like all of a sudden some other singer comes in, just like that too.
Hey, you can use that for your next song. Like, just clip that sample.
Yeah, that one's sample free.
So how are y'all process? Do y'all start with the hook first, or is the idea, and then
it happens any number of ways. Usually, I would say it's that whatever idea it is that you're excited about, it could end up being a hook.
Mm-hmm.
It could end up being just a small element of the greater song. I think it like where the focus of what you're working on kind of shows itself as you get moving on it. I mean, you could do something that, you know, if you're excited about it and you're stoked on it, don't even worry about like what the hook element is.
Mm-hmm.
And then later on, maybe like you could emphasize something or maybe rework something like this is standing out to me more. What could I do to heighten that? I don't know. Or like,
I feel like for me, I feel like hooks have been like one of my, just not my strong point, you know? So I would like, sometimes I would get like production that I would love, like, but I couldn't come up with a hook for it. So I wouldn't write a song to it. But now I got another process of where I just write as much as I can to it and just consistently just write, just write, just write, just mm-hmm. write. And then whatever I find a good part from that, and then I would take that out and make that the hook, and then build around that.
What's the most repeatable thing? What's the most like? What do I want to put an exclamation point behind?
Yeah, or what's like the coolest sounding part? What's the part that's gonna stick in it? Because it's earworms, you know, What's just going to stick with the listener? You know, what's going to make them repeat it? If they hear it one time, then they can know it when the second refrain come, you know? So I just try to think about it from that point.
I think as long as you repeat it, it could be, okay, you can just tell people what the hook is. It could be like a sample of a howitzer cannon going off. Like, that's your hook. This, just your radio is going to blow up every 30 seconds.
But yeah, it is like good songwriting. Definitely the hook is the strongest part. If you don't have a good hook,
you have to get the song, you have to get the listener to listen to the song, and you have to lead. It's like a, it's sort of like leading breadcrumbs, and the hook is a big part of that, right? You can't overdo the hook, because then the hook doesn't have the impact. So it's kind of like a puzzle. It's like the hook is important, and I think it's kind of a cool exercise of like, oh, let's just try to come up with a hook and then build it around it. But sometimes the tricky part is like, how do you get the listener to the hook, you know? And especially like in our genre of music, we're not always starting out with the chorus. It's very rare, you know? And usually like for us, the chorus is when like, it's typically when the hook happens, you know? And so we're trying to get the listener from the intro to the chorus. And then as the, and then develop the hook over the course of the song. And that's, I think, a really important part of it too.
Yeah. All right, next up we got Downgrading. Yo, Danny, love your shit from the UK. I just broke up with my girlfriend of 2 years. Since I've been with her, my hairline is fucked and I have a belly going down. I want to get some pussy, but I'm struggling to come to terms with the fact that I'm going to have to downgrade to the tier of girls I'm going for, from an 8 to a 5. Any advice appreciated, brother? Red. Yeah, man, that could happen, man. You go into a deep depression, man. But I think, man, you shouldn't even be thinking about girls at this point. I feel like self-esteem and confidence is what matters, and everything else will fall in place after that. So you got to work on yourself, man. You got to get in the gym. And, you know, once your hairline is fucked up, you got to embrace that shit, man. You know what I'm saying? It's nothing. I mean, you go to Turkey. Everybody going to Turkey getting those hair plugs, you know? So you can go do that, you know? But, I mean, yeah, it is a lot better for guys nowadays, you know, in this world. Before, it was just Rogaine and shit. You know what I'm saying?
But for real, like, there's no point in making an adjustment until you find out for sure. Like, if you go out there and you're not getting the caliber girl you... Like, let's say you go out there with this attitude of, look, I got to downgrade. Then you're guaranteeing you're downgraded. But if you go back out and you're like, I'm expecting the same caliber, maybe you get lucky.
Yeah, set yourself up a failure.
Or, like, think about, like, what do you want? What do you want? Maybe ask yourself, what do you want?
I mean, it sounds like he needs to work on himself.
And then what are you doing to be that?
Sounds like he wants an 8. It sounds like he wants
that
8.
Yeah, you want that 8. Yeah, man, you just got to work on yourself. I feel like confidence is, you know, having confidence in yourself. Because I was a person, I had fucked up teeth my whole life, you know? So that used to fucking self-esteem issues and shit like that. It'd be a girl I like. I'd be, you know, just scared to talk to him because my teeth was fucked up, you know? But I got some good teeth now, you know?
Oh, yeah. I'm
a little more... a little more, I like myself a little more. Just work. Look at that. Look at that guy. He was an animal, too. I was an animal during those days, man. I'm a better person. That guy right there. I didn't like myself that much. I would say that, man. So, yeah, it's all about loving yourself, you know? And then once you love yourself, just, that comes with taking care of yourself, you know? I was that back then. I didn't care. I didn't know. I didn't fucking know if I would be. Fuck. I'm happy. I'm 42 years old now, man. I'm having the most fun I ever had in my life now, and I didn't ever know I can do that without drugs and alcohol. You know, because now I just feel like I don't. You know, it's just not that extra stress that I was putting on myself. Like the things that started out as fun and being a party, it just ended up being my escape from. You know.
I think it's sort of like you discovered that. You know, a lot of the things you've been putting effort toward are actually the wrong target. Maybe it's not about being with someone. Maybe it's about like what you're doing.
Yeah.
Like, are you stoked on what you're doing? If you're not, then find something that gives your self-worth a boost on like your own terms.
Yeah. For me, going to rehab was like the best thing to ever happen to me. I didn't know. Cause you know, coming from where I'm from, it's like, you know, people kind of look down on that shit. You know, so when I finally just got the courage to be able to ask for help and be able to do it, I've just realized that I had so much underlying trauma, you know, and once I figured out what the root of that shit was, it was just easier for me to get over my addictions, you know?
Yeah.
And everything else, I've been fucking cruising, man. It's been great.
It's like that asking for help is actually like one of the most strong things you can do, you know? I mean, besides taking the help, because the help isn't going to come with your idea of what help should look like.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, if you can take that help and, like, okay, be willing to admit that maybe some of your ideas are, like, not working and maybe never are going to work, then, like, and you experience change from that that is better, like, that's some momentum building stuff that I think, like, you aren't going to know if you're on the other side of it looking up at it.
It definitely takes, like, a humbling of yourself. Because I was like, you know, just as men, sometimes you just feel weak asking for help. You know, you got this fucking machismo shit going on.
Sure.
Just, you know, and I just had to, it was that time, I had to bow down. All right, we'll jump into Ayahuasca Angel. Much love from Houston. Hey, Danny, I'm 30, and I'm in a dating predicament. I'm a type B kind of guy. This nigga hardly get any bitches. But lately, I'm heavy into the dating scene with a newfound confidence, and I'm really into this toe ring bitch. We met in an ayahuasca ceremony. And I couldn't take my eyes off her, even when she threw up all over herself and shitted on herself. We've been to a few ayahuasca ceremonies together. We've talked a lot since and been on a couple of dates, and it's going well. She's got a kid in elementary school, and though the baby daddy is still in the picture 50-50, she's also got a man out of town. But I don't think this one too serious, but I do have a good job and a career and all that. Also, my folks are super old school. Should I dip my toe in the crazy pool, or should I jump into the deep end? Best regards, Anonymous, because this bitch might be listening. Ayahuasca is crazy, man.
I'm not sure if that letter is real.
Yeah.
It seems...
I'm debating the validity of that actual author.
That was ChatGPT. But
I think it's real.
I don't know about that one, man. I mean, she got another guy, and I don't know. I'm like, I like to be a one-woman man, so I want her to be a one-man. You know what I'm saying?
I think you should go for it.
Are toe rings a red flag?
It sounds perfect. Is that... Go for it.
No, it just became a running joke on this show. One time I said, toe ring bitches are the nastiest bitches in the world. Like, that's the three-hole gang. Like,
so that's your red flag? For you, it's a red flag.
No, I love toe ring bitches. I mean, but...
I mean... Puking and no, shitting yourself is cool, but touring?
I'd have been turned off. I'd have been turned off by the shitting on herself. But ayahuasca's crazy, man. I mean, since I'm a sober guy, man. I've had my fun with psychedelics, you know, but I don't know. I'm just not with the. I just I don't know if I want to do something like that. So what you guys think? Should he? Oh, you said go for it.
I think he's got to find the bottom, or he's not going to actually. I think anything you say, I think he's made his decision already.
Yeah. He's
just got
to,
like.
He wants me to pump him up.
He wants you to. He's made his decision already. And I think no matter what you tell him, he's going to go for it. So I say just go find that bottom. It's not going to work.
I would say if you're having fun, just have fun. But it sounds like he want to be serious, you know?
Is there two other dudes in the picture? Is what he said?
Yeah, I mean, that's totally not going to work.
She got a baby daddy, and she got another guy that she see out of town.
Yeah, that's complicated. I say, man, like maybe you find something a little less complicated.
That's some toe ring bitches for you, man. They wild. You know what I'm saying? They wild animals, man. You got to deal with it, man. You know? So, but if you're having a good time, I would just say have fun. But I wouldn't say...
I don't think it sounds like fun.
Yeah. I
think it sounds like fun at all.
Sounds like you're going to get his heart broke. You know, she put that thing on him. He whipped. He don't know what to do, man. He's like, oh, shit. This motherfucker. That's that psychedelic head. All right. Next up, we got AI taking lives. Hey, Danny, what are your thoughts on AI art? You ever fuck with it? My girl of 7 years dumped me recently, and I went deep into everybody getting dumped, man, or going through women problems. I'm really liking it, but I'm taking away from artists. Any words of encouragement to get over this girl? David, what does AI art have to do with, how do you guys feel about the AI thing?
I think it's coming no matter what you think of it.
My favorite producer is Jay Dilla, and recently they put every beat he ever made into like an AI situation, and they created a Donuts-like album and it's close. It's literally so good.
That's crazy.
It is so good. I'm like, fuck, if Dilla was still alive, he probably would be making some shit like this.
I've been wondering about that. You know, it's going to get to the point where there's going to be a David Bowie album that's going to be more popular than David Bowie's actual catalog stuff in the future. And it's going to be like, what?
I was blown away. I was like, this is so good. Like, damn. I've got, you know, I'm seesawing with it. But I think, because they do have like these, like I say, I'm not good with mixing.
and they have these AI mixing programs, which they don't, I mean, they're not the best shit in the world, right. but it gets you closer to what you was at. So I feel like if you're a person that you actually have talent in that field, it can save you a lot of time. But I think it's only going to affect the people that kind of really suck. You know what I'm saying? Like if you suck at, yeah. if you're not really that good at it anyway, it's going to fucking take your job, you know? But if you still, cause AI, it's not at that point. We ain't living like no iRobot shit where it got to motion yet. So it's still, that's what it's missing.
There will be like a rejection of things. Like people will seek out connection, you know, cause that's what you're talking about. You're removing connection, you know? So people are going to seek out like, it wouldn't be like massive, but I think you would see a return to like actual, like, you know, as old school as you can get in you know, rock world and in hip hop world, like you'd see a return to like, you know, actual turntable.
Yeah.
Like as simple as it gets kind of vibe. Like, I think that's really the end of, the product of where that goes, you know, like the, it's why someone like Nirvana exploded at the time when like hair metal and like crazy slick production stuff was like the du jour. Hey, people were just like ready for something that was a little bit more like
some raw shit.
Yeah.
Like even now they got these programs, cause I make beats and stuff. And, one of my weakest is making bass lines, and you can just dump the track into this like AI and it'll generate a fucking bass line for you. Now I'm not saying the bass line is dope, but it gets you there and you can tinker with the notes and, you know, make your own thing out of it. Right. So, I mean, I haven't used it a lot. I just bought it because it seemed like a cool idea. But the newest one I've seen, I wouldn't say it's AI though, but they have this new program that I want to get into, where you can sing the MIDI notes.
Okay, yeah. Can do that. You can do that now with like Melodyne, I think. Like
yeah. Melodyne is so fucking hard though, man. I fucking fucked around with that shit for so long. I was like, I give up, man.
there's a learning curve for it, for sure. It's kind of gnarly.
Melodyne is so fucking hard. All right, we're jumping to some of these music questions. What are your top favorite artists or bands? Yeah, it's so hard to get.
That's
just
a tough one.
Five.
I mean, it's impossible. Jim, I'll let you start. Because it's such a hard thing. I mean, I'll say just growing up, I think a lot of this has to do with childhood. Like when you start to kind of discover the thing that you love, and it may not be the thing you chose now, but like when I was a kid, there was something about U2 that captured my imagination.
U2, man.
Yeah.
I went to see U2 at the Sphere. My girl's a huge U2 fan. It was.
Did you like it?
I had fun. I can't say I left a U2 fan.
Yeah.
It didn't seem like U2 was like the focus of it, which is crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. For me, what was interesting is that at the time, that was like, you know, I was sort of into like the metal stuff, you know, like Bon Jovi and whatever. But like when U2, when I kind of discovered them, and I like, it was sort of them and The Cure and REM all together kind of mixed up. It was like this genre of music that seemed a little bit more, I don't know, like authentic, less about what they were wearing and
more heady.
Just kind of like, and I think that was kind of my step into, you know, getting into more like punk rock bands like Fugazi and bands that we loved when we started playing. And so that was just sort of like from a musicality standpoint, there was something about U2 that like informed a lot of moving forward, you know, in terms of into that world of music rather than being just like a metalhead.
Oh shit. What about you, brother?
I'd say Jesus and Mary Chain would be up there. You know, there's something like about their songwriting that like if you took away the layers of just noise that they'll pile on, it's a very simple, beautiful like pop song almost, like in a traditional kind of like really, you know, as basic as it gets, but just the like Zach said, I think a lot of it, you know, they're a group I discovered when it was kind of switching over from really caring about like guitar playing and that, you know, really getting into guitar, like shredding stuff. And they're like, oh, wait, it can be like this.
Mm-hmm. Totally just change the perspective.
Yeah.
Of music,
yeah. Like perspective changing, like musicians and artists.
Yeah. That's the same thing I was saying about MF Doom. Like when I first heard him, I was like, you can do that.
Right.
And even it, like you say, with the same thing, I remember when I was in jail and I would just have my brother,
he would go on the internet and just print out MF Doom lyrics to me. And I remember just being in jail and reading them, and it was starting to like open up a whole new world for me, because it was almost like I was like, I wasn't reading rap songs. It was like literally, like I said, like every song for him was almost like a book, like a novel. Like I was reading fucking books and shit. That was my books. And it definitely, like I said, changed my whole perspective on how to write a song, you know? Because you know with rap music, it's always trying to be cool. I'm a fuck your bitch. You know what I'm saying? It's just too much of that, you know, where I was
we
like,
we need to
no.
do more of that stuff, man. Like, maybe you could help us with some lyrics, man.
No, man, I'm past that phase now. Like, even now, I mean.
Can you imagine like a heavy metal like song where it's just like, I'm the best.
Yeah.
No one can shred like me. Like
I don't know, like that's I feel
I like that's my thing for everything is just
isn't,
like,
that, isn't that like isn't that like isn't that like Disturbed basically, like I think they're kind of
I used to always feel like yourself. Like Guns N' Roses was kind of like gangster rap a little bit to
totally
me. Something like, you know, for some reason like they just had that vibe. I just got that vibe for them. All right, what album can you listen to front to back?
Oh man,
there's a lot
out there. Kind of, there's so many that none are coming to mind all of a sudden.
The first that springs to my mind is Tom Petty Wildflowers.
Yeah.
That's a crazy good album that if you haven't listened to it, if you know, if you're not a Tom Petty fan, then whatever. But like it's an album that was probably very, very hard to make, and they meticulously, you know, worked very hard on that album. But it sounds like an album that was just like made on a weekend with buddies, you know, in a studio, and it's really, really good.
I don't know. London Calling would be
oh shit
one you could listen to all the way. Trying to think of something more recent.
The new War on Drugs album. That's a great band.
Oh, worry.
Yeah,
definitely check it out.
That's good. Yeah, this is like, what are you like, I don't even know what I listen to anymore. It's like so all over the place.
Yeah, my music. I think it goes with moods. It's more so where I'm at in my life with what I'm listening to and what I like. Like, I've been more into like the PC music stuff, and like these kids, they're making like, it's like a newer version of shoegaze. They call it Zoomer gaze.
Okay. Oh, wow.
I don't think they named it that. They said, you know, that's how genres always start. Some journalist named it, but they've been making some cool shit. So I've been into that world right now. So yeah, I'm listening to a lot of that shit. All right. What song you want to play at your funeral? Everybody gets it gets dark.
The Macarena.
Oh shit! Oh, see, man, that's a good time.
Or,
dude, I have no idea. That's a tough question.
I know.
You know, maybe the Curb Your Enthusiasm theme. You know, something like that. Just keep it light. You know, like.
I said, I don't want them motherfuckers to listen to nothing. Don't put nothing on. Y'all just sit there and get deep in y'all thoughts. You know what I'm saying? I don't want no choir. I don't want nothing. I don't want no music. I've been doing music my whole life. Last thing I want to do is hear music in my death, you know?
I want Jim to sing something a cappella at my my funeral. So that's all, like, whatever Jim picks. Some kind of a cappella vocal performance would be great.
But yeah, everybody, I ask people that all the time. It's always all over the wall answers, man. It's crazy. Last week, Hannibal said he wanted Highway to Hell. I'm like, what the fuck, man? like, you just go to pick your destination like that? Yeah. What are you doing with your life, man? We got to switch that up,
maybe,
you know?
Maybe it's Creed with arms wide open. Oh, you know?
I like, feel like that's definitely been played at a few funerals around the world. Yeah.
Now that I have you all here, I'm going to play something horrible for you.
Yeah, here's
my send off to y'all.
My mom, when my grandmother died, my mom's like, we want to play. We have a song called "Hear You Me," and that's like, that was played at my grandma's funeral, which was kind of odd for me because it was like, oh, it's our song and grandma's dead, but we're playing the song.
I'm not good with funerals, man. I can't. I'm just not good at it. I can't. I don't know. I mean, maybe I'm gonna get over that emotional hump.
Yeah, I think, you know. I think if you said, like, I'm really good at funerals, that would be more concerning, you know? Like, I think it's okay that you're, like, not into it.
Yeah, you're right.
It's one of those things you don't need to conquer.
I guess you're right. I didn't look at it like that. But that would be crazy if somebody was like, yo, I love funerals.
Yeah.
Man.
It's a little dark.
That's my favorite shit, man, going to funerals, man. The food after, man. Oh, you gotta taste some food.
That potluck.
Dog, it's the greatest shit ever, man. Food hit different at the funerals. All right. So what'd you listen to growing up?
So like I grew up in a really like strict religious home. So I was only allowed to listen to Christian music.
Oh, shit.
So, like, the only band that I liked that was a Christian rock band was a band called Striper. You remember them? Mm-mm. They were, like, this metal band, and they were always dressed in yellow and black. And, they, like, all of their gear and their stage was all just, like, yellow, black stripes.
Oh, shit.
And so, yeah, and I listened to them. And then as I got older, I'd start to, like, hide it. Like, my mom was working, and so I figured out that I could, like, haul ass home from school on my bike. And I had about 30 to 45 minutes of, like, I could watch MTV before mom came home from her job. So I started getting into, like, you know, all the stuff that was popping off when we were in, like, you know, elementary school. Like, look at that. Dude, it's wild. Anyway, and then kind of from that, got loved, you know, Bon Jovi and Def Leppard for sure. Def Leppard's a band I still love today.
Striper kind of went on like a WWF. Like, yes. They turned evil for a minute. They went secular.
They had a heel turn.
They went blue for a time. Turn. Yeah.
See if you can find like when Striper went secular.
Striper band blue. Try that.
Yeah. They went secular, and then people were like, "Oh, they're not with Jesus anymore." And then that didn't really work, so they went back to the OG thing.
Make kinda, love. Kinda
like Hulk Hogan. Try images.
Hulk Hogan went to like a bad guy for a minute, and then came back.
I don't know if they show. Maybe it doesn't show.
Not. Yeah, oh. I didn't have the. I had young parents, and I would, you know, they were figuring it out, so they would play like music that I shouldn't have been listening to. But then they'll be like, you got to go in your room. Okay. Like, they'll listen like Too Short or like NWA. And all that did was fascinate me more to want to hear it. Yeah. Like, Two Live Crew and shit like that.
Well, it's like door number two parenting, where it's like, whatever you do, don't look behind door number two. Yeah, and like, that's what you want to do.
I'm like, that was the worst shit ever y'all could have did. Because all it did was made me want to hear the shit more. So they had like the same shit with you. Like, when they're gone, I'd be sneaking in their tapes and I'd be listening to that shit. I remember the first time I heard Too Short, Blowjob Betty. It fucking changed my life. I mean, not for the better, obviously, but I was like, what? This shit crazy, you know? But yeah, Straight out of Compton, all that shit. They would listen to that shit. Like, their friends would come over, they'd be partying, you know, go to your room type shit. But you could still, like, hear it. I just couldn't really hear the lyrics. But they'd sneak out, I'd go on their tapes and shit. But I got caught, too. I got in trouble for that shit, got put on punishment. But it was all good, you know. I turned out to be a good rapper.
yeah.
So I did their job.
As an adult, I'd have the opposite approach with my kids. Mm-hmm. I was like, okay, you know, listen to the explicit version because that's the way that like it was meant to be by the artist. So I'm like, listen to whatever you want. And my son's really into, you know, rap and hip hop. Mm-hmm. And I was like, yeah, you should, you know. I was like, hey, have you ever listened to N.W.A.? You know, mm-hmm. And he's like, no. So he checked him out, and he loved him. He's super into that now.
The clean versions of those are hilarious.
Yeah, especially when they put like sound effects and shit, like what the fuck.
I think some of them actually went and re-recorded a clean version of it. Maybe
They used to do that. Fuck, I forgot. All right. Yeah, the clean version. I just remember, like, because I remember Snoop Dogg used to have like dogs barking every time he cussed and shit. I was like, what the fuck is going on with this, man? All right, man, we'll spin the wheel and get ready to get up out of here, man. Thank you guys so much for coming through, man. It was an honor to talk to you guys, man.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Pleasure. Yeah, man.
All right, here we go. Where's it going?
Dog walkers.
Dog walkers.
I mean, the dog want to go for a walk. I'm lucky enough. I got small dogs. I got chihuahuas. That's a Texas thing.
Yeah, you don't have to walk far to get a lot of steps.
No, then. I can just let them out in the backyard. They run around and have a good time. Are you guys pet guys?
Sort of. I was like a cat guy growing up. My kids have two dogs now.
Mm-hmm. Big dogs?
They're huskies, yeah.
Oh, shit. Yeah,
them huskies. You have to. They need to move.
Yeah, we have a golden and a mutt, and they're bigger. And yeah, they, mm-hmm. you know.
You got to take them out. It's crazy, man. Like, they got... It's a dog park, not too far from me. Like, that's how I know. Like the world.
Yeah, there's like a small dog section and a big dog section.
Yeah,
but
it's almost to me. It turns out almost like it's not even like they doing it for the dogs. And it's not like the dogs are going there to have a good time. It almost feels like how a car show is. Like everybody just have the coolest dogs in the world.
Parading your dog around.
Yeah, like, and they go and it's like the amateur dog show or some shit. Everybody out there got the coolest looking dogs and they just showing their dogs off to everybody else.
Like as an accessory kind of?
Yeah, it's almost that kind of thing, man. I'm like, man, the dog want this. He thirsty, man. It's 100 degrees out here. Take his ass in the house, man. He don't want to be out here with y'all motherfuckers, man. They be out there fainting and some more shit, man. I do watch the dog show every year. I mean, when it's on, you know, I watch the dog show.
The Westminster?
Yeah, I love watching that, man. But and then I ask every Super Bowl, I watch the Puppy Bowl, too. I love watching the Puppy Bowl, man.
I've never seen the Puppy Bowl
yet. Yeah, they have Snoop Dogg hosting it.
Oh, really?
Yeah. The Puppy Bowl,
That would be cool.
Look, yeah, go Snoop.
All right, so it's just a bunch of dogs going nuts?
Yeah, they playing football, shitting everywhere, pissing on the ball. That's funny. It's a clusterfuck, man. It never works out how they think, man.
It's just let these dogs go, and there's like no sense of any sort of game that happens. Just to see what happens.
They be fucking up. Nobody never scores. Huh. No.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah, but the Puppy Bowl be lit. I watch the Puppy Bowl every year, you know?
Oh my God, that's amazing. That's impressive.
Yeah, yeah. Shouts out to them. Look at them. They can't even concentrate on the game, man. But
like
all right.
The ref is calling people. I'm sure they're going to listen to him.
Flags every play, you know? I just wonder about the people, man, that be like, man, I want my dog to be in the Puppy Bowl. Like, what's going on with your brain? I know my dog wouldn't want to be in the Puppy Bowl, man. She crazy enough.
They got to get, like, the Mike Vick version of this and just get all pit bulls. All pit bulls, you know, like a pit bull Puppy Bowl.
Mike Vick coaching his team. It'll be over, man. That'll be like the old school Raiders and shit. You know what I'm saying?
That would be like pay-per-view, I think.
Unnecessary roughness, yeah. Look.
Get Dana White to put it on pay-per-view.
He's about
to
score. Yeah, you should have I'm down with that, man. The pit bull Puppy Bowl at the Spear. That would be great. All right, man. We out of this motherfucker, man. I want to thank you guys so much. I'm so honored to talk to you guys, man. It was
so
great, man.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you guys for coming, man. It's a fucking honor, man.
Good luck on your tour, man.
Yeah. Good luck with you guys, too, man.
You going to come to Phoenix?
Yeah.
All right.
Actually, I think maybe, is it Mesa?
Mesa, dude.
Yeah,
that's where we're from. But we live in. Yeah, you're going to the Nile. We played at the Nile.
The Nile. Yeah.
That was when we Capitol Records came out and saw us play like out of the blue. We didn't even know they were there, and mm-hmm. that's where that we kind of got discovered by a major label.
Dope. So it got
at the Nile. Yeah, it's some history.
Yeah. So
go to Republica Empanada when you're there.
Oh, I love empanadas. That's good.
It's right there by the Nile.
So yeah, I would definitely be out there, man. Like I said, thank you guys so much, man. It was an honor talking to you guys, man. We out. Love you guys. See you same time, same channel. Peace.